Lori, for that special, and then for all the wonderful special music this morning. We thank you for that. Also thank the Lord for the good congregational singing as well. Drew, pep rally's over now. It's game time, right? Yes. Amen. We've all pepped up and ready to go. Now it's time to get into the ball game. We're fixing to have kickoff. Amen. That's what we wait for, look forward to. How many of you are looking forward to football season? Drew, you better raise your hand, buddy. You better raise that hand. It's upon us. Drew will be out there on the field. What, this week? The opening game this week? Next Friday. Okay. I tell you, it's right here upon us. So, anyway, it's football time. But I'm glad that it's worship time now. Amen? This is the Lord's Day. Take your Bible, turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 12. Luke chapter 12. You will recognize this when we read this text this morning. You've heard it. You've heard several messages from me over the years from this particular text. But one I feel like the Lord would have me preach this morning, something I've been praying about, contemplating. I preached the last 3 weeks on the subject of giving. So most definitely, I would need to preach on this particular subject because it's just the opposite of giving. It's the subject of greed. And I believe in this text in Luke chapter 12, as we'll read the parable of the rich fool, we'll find a tremendous picture that the Lord paints here of greed and how it can affect our lives and all of that. And one of the terrible sins that we want to avoid, if at all possible, is that sin of greed. So if you found your place, stand with me as we honor the reading of God's Word. I'll begin reading in verse number 15. Bible says there, "And he said unto them," this is the Lord speaking, "take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, So thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you will take thought can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, neither spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, give alms, provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, nor moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for your good word this morning. I pray in this illustration, Lord, that we'll be able to see. Lord, hopefully we'll be able to see ourselves. Lord, I pray today that you would just illuminate this passage of Scripture. My thoughts, my words, my mind today, may it be focused on this, and may I speak clearly that which you have for us. Father, I pray today that if there's one among us or nearby or that may be listening to live stream this morning, who may be listening later on in the week or in the month through our internet service, Lord, I pray that you would speak to their hearts. But if there's one here that does not know Christ, we pray that today would be the day of salvation for them. Bless this message, we pray. Use it for your glory and for our help. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, in this passage of Scripture, we find three things. We find a word of warning. We find a word of correction. But also, we find a word of instruction. Is not that similar to what Paul encouraged and challenged Timothy to do when he said, preach the word, to be in season, out of season, to reprove, to rebuke, and to exhort? He said to do it with all longsuffering and doctrine. So today, that's my desire, and what I try to do is I try to do just that. I try to preach God's word with longsuffering and with doctrine. The title of today's message is this: When Greed Becomes Your God. When greed becomes your God. Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 3, the very first commandment, God commanded the nation of Israel at that time that thou shalt have no gods before me. Absolutely no other gods. But sad to say, we have come to realize that there is other gods out there that men and women choose to serve. And greed is one of those that men has chosen to serve. We ask ourselves this morning, when we think, as some would say, well, you know, preacher, greed is not my God. But let me ask you this morning. Is money more important to you than the things of God? Ask yourself that question. Is money more to me than means more to me than the things of God? Does pleasing myself, does it mean, is it more important to me than pleasing God? Do the possessions that I have or the things that I am trying to attain, are they more valuable to me than the things of God Himself? If so, then greed is your God. What is greed? Greed is listed as one of the seven deadly sins, pride being the first deadly sin. And of course, we know that all sin is what? All sin is deadly. For the wages of sin is death. But here, someone has chosen to describe seven of the worst or the most deadly sins of all, and greed falls within those seven right there as being one of those terrible, ungodly sins that leads men away and destroys their lives. Greed is it can be described as the insatiable desire to have more, money, to have more possessions, to have more power, to have more control, to have more of anything. That is what greed is. It's the insatiable desire to have more. You say, preacher, what's wrong with having more? Nothing's wrong with having more as long as we include God in that more. Greed excludes God. Greed leaves God out of the equation. Greed leaves God out of the picture of our lives. Greed does. Greed is that insatiable desire to have more without God. It can also be described this way. It's a reprehensible, inordinate desire. the word inordinate, and the Bible talks about inordinate affection. But the word inordinate means unusual, unnatural, excessive, and unrestrained. So we find that that's what greed is. It's an unusual, an unnatural, an excessive, and an unrestrained desire to have more. The synonym for the word greed is found in the Bible, and it is described as what we would call covetousness. Exodus chapter 20, verse 17, the last commandment, number 10 of the 10 commandments that God gives the believers in the nation of Israel as boundaries to live by. He says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. That undesirable, that uncontrollable, that unrestrained desire to have what everybody else has in this world. That's what greed is. It's that desire, the covetousness, to desire to have something that someone else has. I've made this statement before, but we refer to keeping up with the Joneses or keeping up with whoever it is, but we have that insatiable desire there to be like everyone else, to have what everyone else is, what everyone else has. But thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. In other words, God's saying that our life should not be filled with greed. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 5, the Lord likens covetousness to idolatry. And that is the worship of strange gods. Covetousness, that desire, that overwhelming, uncontrollable, unnatural, unusual, unrestrained, excessive desire for the more things of this world is idolatry. It means that we have put things before God Himself. Why do you think the Apostle John wrote in the book of 1 John chapter 2 verses 15 and through 17, love not the world. What did he go on to say from there? Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world and the lust thereof. And he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Seven signs that are given on recognizing someone that greed may be their God. Here's the seven indicators or the seven signs of that individual. These are the characteristics that fall upon a person that their God may be the God of greed. The first one is being overly self-centered behavior. Overly self-centered behavior. You've heard the philosophy, me, myself, and I. You find somebody that their behavior mirrors that, and all they are concerned about is me, myself, and I. And sad to say, this is motivated what the Bible refers to in the last days is self-love. For men shall be what? Lovers of their own self. Then the next word is what? Covetousness. That's the trap that so many are falling into. That's what we are seeing today in our society, in our world. Sad to say, we're seeing it even in the midst of our congregations and our local churches where people are self-centered in their behavior and all they're concerned about is me. What am I getting out of it? What benefits me? Then, of course, there's another characteristics of greed, and that is to be envious or to be envy, have envy. Envy is closely related to jealousy. Envy is the overwhelming, that desire to have something that somebody else has to the point that you are disgusted and you are grieved and you are angered when somebody else has something that you don't have and you want it. That's what envy is. That's why the Bible says we're not to covet what? Our neighbor's house. We're not to covet our neighbor's wives. Sad to say, there are people out there that would love to have somebody else's house and love to have somebody else's wife, or maybe have somebody else's husband, or maybe have somebody else's parents, or have somebody else's children, or maybe have their car or their truck or whatever else that may be thy neighbor's. And that's what envy is. There's a third characteristic, and that's a lack of empathy. That simply means to be uncaring and unconcerned. You find a person whose behavior exhibits a lack of empathy for people, a lack of concern for other people, a lack of compassion, as Jesus reminds us that as Christians we're to be compassionate people. But somebody that lacks empathy, it's an indication that they're concerned only about themselves, and their life is ruled by greed, and the god of this of greed has become their number one god. It could also be described this way, by being discontent or discontented, unsatisfied. If you live a life today of where you're always complaining that you never have enough, and what you do have, you're not satisfied with it, that's an indication that your life is controlled by the god of greed. The Bible reminds us over and over again that as Christians, we're to be content. As we'll read in a few moments, Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 6, in verse number 6, he says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we shall carry nothing out, and having food and raiment therewith be what? Content." In other words, God says that we're to be content with the things that we have. That's why Paul said that in whatsoever state he was in, he had learned to do what? To be content. It didn't matter. Paul may have been eating at the palace. The next day he may have been eating in the dungeon. One day he may have been eating wonderful meat, and the next day he may have been eating the scraps which fell from the crumbs from maybe a rich man's table. But I'm telling you, Paul was content, and that's what we must do and learn to be content. Another sign of greed, or a characteristic of greed, can be manipulative, or one that loves to control, to have that power and control over others, the one that gives the final saying, the one that gives the final word. One with that type of behavior exhibits a life controlled by greed. We find there's another, and that's focused on the immediate. Somebody that is definitely only concerned about the right now. Now I realize that we're not to focus that much on what's out there before us. But at the same time, we have to prepare. God gives us instruction that we're to be wise in our dealings. And even though we're not to lay up treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, we're not to do that. But the Bible is clear that we need to be wise, and we do need to focus. We need to make preparation for tomorrow and be prepared for tomorrow. But that one that is motivated by greed and is ruled and controlled by the god of greed is focused only on the immediate, right now. They're not concerned with the future. They're concerned with what I can get, what I can obtain, what I can control, what I can manipulate right now. One that their life is controlled by greed, and greed is their god. They know no limits. They live a life unrestrained and without boundaries. In other words, they have no rule over their life. They have no control over their life. That's how Paul describes them in the book of Philippians, who God is their belly, whose glory is their shame. Their God is their belly. That's all they're concerned about. Let me say, as we consider that subject this morning and ask ourselves the question, is greed our God this morning? I would have to say, just like hypocrisy, every one of us have a little bit of hypocrisy in us. And every one of us in human nature has a little bit of greed in us. As I shared with you last week from the book of Matthew chapter 19, the story of the rich young ruler, and after the Lord gave the story of the rich young ruler, you remember Peter's response, and Peter said, Lord, we have forsaken all to follow thee. Get the little greed in Peter's life. What shall we have therefore? Was Peter not concerned with himself? What is that? That's greed. Was he not motivated by, hey, what are we going to get out of this deal? Look what we've done. Is that not greed? Do we not feel that way sometimes? Are our lives not motivated by greed just like Peter's was? We must keep a check on greed. One writer said, greed is a serious sin that must be avoided. Wealth is a serious responsibility to do good with what God has given us. Greed is a serious sin, and we do need to avoid it. I thought about this. Listen to this statement. The Lord gave me this, but listen to it. I thought it to be very, very good. You don't have to be rich to be greedy. And you don't have to be poor to be content. Do you get that? You don't have to be rich to be greedy. Just because you're rich does not mean that your God is greed. There have been many wealthy people over the years that have used their wealth, that have used their silver, their gold, their possession for the glory of Almighty God. But the Lord warns us time and time again about those things. When we think about that of being rich and it naturally creating greed in our lives, or being poor and necessarily causing contentment in our lives. I remember a story that I was told. This individual happened to go to school with me back many years ago. He came from a very large family. He had including himself, there were 12 brothers and sisters, a very large family. And this particular family did not have much at all. They were probably some of the poorest people in our school at that time. Probably one of the poorest families. They lived in a very small frame house. When I'm talking about small, I would say probably maybe their whole house was probably right here to the back wall there where Brother Kevin and them are sitting right there. That was their whole house. Included living area, kitchen, bedrooms for mama and daddy and for 12 children. And that's all they had. And it was not very well. It was one of those houses that set up on pillars that didn't have any foundation all the way around it. You look underneath and the chickens and the goats and everything else just ran underneath the house. They had no air conditioning to comfort them in the summertime. They heated by wood stove was the only means of heat for that house. I remember the kids would come to school in the morning and they'd smell like wood smoke because that was what was used to dry their clothes where they'd washed. A very poor family. And I remember being told the story that daddy died. This was several years later. All of them had gotten out of school, or most of them were out of school at the time. But daddy died, and about 2 weeks later, mama died. And those 12 brothers and sisters fought, argued over what was left and who was going to get it and who was going to get what. There was nothing there. There was nothing there worth arguing over. There was nothing there over fighting over. There was nothing there to destroy that family over. But it destroyed that family. Brothers and sisters and loved ones, they quit talking. They quit communicating. There was hate and there was despise in their hearts toward one another because of that. What created that? Greed. I don't want you to have it. If I can't have it, I don't want you to have it. That is a sign of greed. And that's what cripples many people's spiritual life. And there are Christians today that have that same attitude. If I can't have it, I don't want you to have it. That's when there's an indication of greed in your heart. The Lord warns us of the sin of greed. In our text in verse 15, the Lord says, take heed. That's a word of warning there. To take notice of what I'm about to say. He said, take heed and beware. Of course, we know what the word beware means, do we not? You walk up to a house and it says, beware a dog. I'm going to be looking for a dog. If it says, beware of owner, I'm going to be looking for a gun. Amen. We ought to beware. Look out. That's what the Lord's saying. Take heed and beware of what? Beware of covetousness. Beware of greed. For he says a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things in which he possesses. You've heard me say this before, that at the end of life, whoever has the most toys in life does not win. It's not about toys. It's not about accumulating wealth. It's not accumulating finances. It's not having the best job and having that position. It's not having control. Folks, it's all about living for God, being saved and giving your heart and life to Jesus. That's what matters. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 5. The Lord says, for this ye know, that no whoremonger or unclean person nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. That's pretty serious stuff right there, isn't it? Man, every one of us, there's no doubt. You think about a whoremonger. Man, yeah. Yes, sirree. I don't know what do I shook something loose, sir. Think, man, that's awful. Unclean person. But then he lists a covetous, one that is greedy. And he says there, and he relates that one that is greedy, that is covetousness, to the sin of idolatry. But he says that one has no inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then he puts it in the past tense because he says in the next verse, in verse 11, but such were some of you. What does that mean? That means that the Lord, when He saves us, He transforms us. He makes us a new creature in Christ Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 and 11, the Lord tells us that as Christians, that this sin of covetousness and this sin of greed is so great that we're not to keep company or to fellowship with somebody that is a greedy person. It means we're to separate from them. We're not to have anything to do with them. What should we do then as a church to do just that? It's to separate from them. Somebody that their life is controlled and motivated by greed. Turn with me to the book of James chapter 5. We're thinking about the word of warning here that the Lord gives us here concerning greed. In James chapter 5 verse 1 he says, go to now, ye rich man. What does he say? He says, weep and howl for your misery that shall come upon you. In other words, what he's saying there, he's saying, those of you that are greedy, he said, look out because trouble's coming. Pretty good warning, isn't it? Right now you think you may be living high on the hog, that everything's wonderful. I've got everything that I need. Just like this rich man that said, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Sit back, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said, thou fool. Your trouble's coming. That's what God's trying to warn you of. A man's life does not consist, it's not held together by the things in which we possess. Our security is not in gold and silver and possessions. Our security is in God. Our security is in God Almighty. He's the one. He's the one, as the Bible says, that gives us power, that gives us strength to obtain what we have. You realize you wouldn't have nothing. I wouldn't have nothing if it wasn't for God. Everything I got, everything that I possess is God's. It came from God. And I'm thankful for it. And I recognize that, and we should all do that. Notice in verse number 2 of James 5, he said, your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasures together for the last days. In other words, you built it up. You built it up. I shared this story many years ago as well. There was a co-worker of mine shortly before his retirement. This has happened. This is something I've heard stories of others like this before. But this was an actual individual. Prior to his retirement, I'm going to tell you, he was involved in everything. He was, if it had to do with money, he was involved in it. And it appeared that everything that this man touched turned to gold. Because when he got ready to retire, he threw out his bank book one day, he threw out his stock statement one day, and he was several times over a millionaire. And he was bragging about retirement. Now, from a spiritual standpoint, I do know the man did attend a church, a Baptist church at the time. How regular, I don't know, but I do know at one time he was a member of this particular church. He retired. 6 months later, that man was dead. That man was dead. Who do you think obtained and got all the wealth that he had accumulated over the years? Sad to say, it fell into the hands of a drug-using, dope addict, drunkard son, because all they had was one child, and he squandered it all away. That's what he's saying. You have heaped treasure together for the last day. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. There he's just saying, he said, you've done everything you could to get. You've cheated, you've lied, you've stolen everything. Greed. It's not going to profit you. That's what he's saying. It is not going to profit. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, Old Testament book of Jeremiah, chapter 17. This is a verse I wanted to read. Jeremiah chapter 17, I'm going to read verse 10 and 11. Verse 10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. He said, as the partridge sitteth on the eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be what? A fool. Everything that you have worked so hard to achieve. Financial status to be able to say, look what I've got. Look what I've accomplished. Look what I have acquired over the years. God says it's going to be taken from you and it's going to be given to somebody else, and you're going to be the fool, just like that rich fool. Greed. We find that word of warning. Greed can lead to a number of other terrible things. Greed can lead to disobedience. Look at the life of Eve in Genesis chapter 3. What did she do? She disobeyed God. God had told Adam and Eve that in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The tree of the knowledge of the fruit of the good and evil. And of course we know that Eve was deceived. She was. There's no question about that. But her heart was a heart of greed, and she had a covetous heart about her because she was unsatisfied with what God had given them. Do you realize that Adam and Eve had everything there in the Garden of Eden that they'd ever need, that they'd ever want? But you know what? Eve wanted what? More. She wanted more. She wasn't satisfied with what God had given them in the Garden of Eden. She wanted more. She wanted more knowledge. She wanted to be like God. That's what the devil told her that she'd be. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Greed. Greed led to disobedience. And that disobedience led to destruction, and that destruction led to death. James chapter 1 says, let no man say, when I am tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away, what? Of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. Eve had it all, but she wanted more. And that desire led her to disobey God. But think about King Saul. King Saul is another whose life was filled with greed. God had instructed King Saul to go in and to destroy the Amalekites and to take none of the spoil and utterly wipe them out. And of course we know what King Saul did. He took Agag the king. He took the best of the herds of the flock. He came back and was going to have a big barbecue. He's going to have a big sacrifice. Why do you think he did that? Greed was behind all of that. Greed was what motivated King Saul to disobey the commandment of Almighty God. It was greed that was in his heart that caused him to do that. Because his greed was not for silver and gold, but it was over control and power and influence over the people that he was there. And folks, that can be an avenue of greed as well. It doesn't have to be greedy for gain such as silver and gold and possessions. Yes, it can be over control. It can be over that power. It can be over that influence that one has over people. More, 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 and more. Greed led to disobedience. Let me say that greed can also lead to deception. Greed can lead to deception, to lies, to cheating, to stealing. Think about the book of Acts chapter 5 and the story of a man and his wife named Ananias and Sapphira. What was behind their motivation to do what they did? In those days that people would give what they had to the church. They'd give all, they'd sell all, they sold all their possessions and their goods. And they would provide for the needs of the congregation as every man had need thereof. And Ananias and Sapphira sold a piece of ground. And the Bible said that they kept back a portion of it. What motivated them to do that? Greed. Rather than to give as others had were doing, and as the custom of the church was in that day, they kept back a little bit of it. How much, I have no idea, but they kept back a portion of it. But what they did was they deceived the others by making them think that what they had given was, hey, they'd given all, but they hadn't. So what they do, they deceived others. And then on top of it, what did they do? They lied to the apostles, which in return, they were lying to the Spirit of God, to God Himself. And as a result of it, both of them were destroyed. Both of them were smote down dead because of it. It led to their lies. It led to deceptions. That's what greed does. It leads to lies. It leads to cheating. It leads to stealing, just so you can have more. You're willing to do anything out there to get more. If you have to cheat, if you have to steal. I think about that. You know, I think about taxes. Ain't nobody hates paying taxes any more than I do. I hate paying taxes. But sad to say, we've got people out there every year that cheat on their taxes, that lie about things. I'm going to tell you, we need to be upfront and honest. God will bless in every area of life. That's why the Bible says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil by doing good. So greed can lead to disobedience. It can lead to deception. Look at King Saul. As I already mentioned, King Saul, not only did he disobey, but he deceived himself in doing so. And he tried to deceive the prophet Samuel. When Samuel approached him about his disobedience, King Saul, what did he say? He said, I have obeyed the commandment of the Lord. I don't know who he was trying to convince. But God had already revealed that to the prophet Samuel, what had been done. And that King Saul had disobeyed the command of God. He knew it. But are not we like that as well? Are not many in this world just like that? Many in our churches that are just like that, trying to deceive themselves? Deception. What about in the book of Judges chapter 16 in the story of Samson and Delilah? Did she not deceive Samson? Did she not lure him in? What was her motivation? What was behind it? The god of greed, the spirit of greed was what was behind Delilah. The recognition. The 1,100 pieces of silver that was promised her if that she would lure Samson in, and that would he would reveal the purpose and everything behind his strength. Greed can lead to disobedience. It can lead to deception. Book of Proverbs chapter 16 verse 8 says this, better is a little with righteousness than great revenue without right. Better is little with righteousness than great revenue without right. What is Solomon saying there? Solomon saying that it would be better to do without things. To do without. To not maybe have the new house or the new car or the new suit of clothes or go on that vacation. It may be better to do it, to do without those things and do it right, than to have everything and to do it wrong. Thirdly, we see that greed can lead to destruction. Destruction. Turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Greed can lead to destruction. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 6. I quoted a few moments ago. Paul writes here to Timothy, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Very, very profitable. Living a godly life and being content. Contentment refers to being satisfied. Satisfied. "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." You've heard this many times before, but I along with you, I have never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul trailer. Have you? Never. Never. Somebody may have been buried in a gold casket, but they didn't carry the gold with them. I assure you that. "We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we are carrying nothing out." And he says, he goes on to say, "And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." Food and raiment, food and clothing, the clothes, the shelter that you have over your head. He said, be content with it. And don't think that the preacher's getting on to you if you get a new suit of clothes. There's nothing wrong with that. You get a new suit, new pair of shoes, a new dress, there's nothing wrong with that. But there are a lot of people out there that are not satisfied with that. They want more, and they want more, and they want more. See, greed is an attitude. Covetousness is an attitude of the heart. That's why he relates it to idolatry, because idolatry is a sin in the heart. A sin in the heart. Verse number 9, "But they that," notice, the Bible says, "but they that will be rich." It didn't say those that were rich, did it? Those that will be rich. Why do you think that Solomon tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes not to labor to be rich? Some people, that's their whole guy, their whole goal, their whole motivation in life, is to be rich and to be wealthy and to have and to be able to say, "Hey, look what I've got." That's what happened to the rich fool. And God called him a fool. "But they that will be rich," notice what he says, "fall into temptation." That means that they're going to be tempted. They're going to be tempted to be drawn away. As James says, with their own lust and enticed. "But they that will be rich fall into temptation." And notice what he said, a snare. That's a trap. "And into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men," what? "In destruction and perdition." They destroy. Greed leads to destruction. Leads to destruction, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Anything wicked, anything evil, anything ungodly in this world, you look behind it and it's motivated by greed, the love of money. Everything. The alcohol industry, it's money. The pornography industry, it's money. The gambling industry, it's money. Everything out there that is wrong and ungodly is motivated by greed and the love of money. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some do what? Covet after it. Covet after money, after thing, after possession. They have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with what? Many sorrows. Troubles. What does greed lead to? It leads to disobedience. It leads to deception. And it leads to destruction. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 27. He that is greedy of gain, troubleth his own house. You know, if you're greedy of gain, the Bible says you bring trouble on your own, on your whole house. We can look at that in two different ways, can't we? We can look at that in our personal lives. Those that are greedy in our household, maybe a husband, maybe a wife, maybe one of the children. But what do? They bring trouble on the whole household. Look at Achan. Did not Achan do that in the book of Joshua chapter number 7? Did he not bring God's judgment and trouble on his whole house because of the decision that he made? To take a wedge of gold and several shekels of silver and a priestly garment. But what did it cost them? It cost them their lives. It destroyed his home. Read in Joshua chapter 22, and the Bible said there in chapter 22 that Achan perished not alone, because when God told Joshua to take Achan, he didn't say just take Achan and stone him with stones and burn him with fire. He said take his wife, his kids, and everything that he had and stone them with stones and burn them with fire. Destroy them. What was behind that? Greed. Greed. Greed brought destruction to Achan's household. What do you think about Lot? When Lot was given the choice, Abraham gave him the choice, said, hey, Lot, you pick wherever you want to go. I'll take what's left over. What did Lot see? Lot saw. That's the first problem with greed, is that we've got our eyes on the lust of the eyes. That was so in the life of Eve in the Garden of Eden. She lusted with her eyes. She saw that the tree was good for fruit and a tree to be desired to make one wise. The Bible said she took thereof and did eat and gave also to her husband and he did eat. Started right here with the eyes. That was so in David's life as well. You remember his sin with Bathsheba. He looked upon her. What was this? Did David have a wife? Yes, David had multiple wives at the time. But you know what? David wanted another man's wife. He coveted another man's wife, which the commandment says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, nor his wife, nor his manservant, his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that was his neighbor's. And David wanted another man's wife. Why? Because of greed. He looked and he saw the beauty of her. And he desired and he took her. And he sinned against God. What did it bring? It brought destruction. It brought destruction. Because the Bible said from that time on, yes, David repented. 2 Samuel chapter 12, we find there David of Nathan revealing to David that sin that he had committed. And in Psalm 51, we find the recording of David's repentant prayer. And I'm going to tell you, God's judgment and God's chastisement was on David the rest of the days of his life. David's family was destroyed because of that sin. Where did it all start? It started with greed. It started with covetousness. That's where it started. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. Think about this, though. Can it trouble the house of God? Sure it can. If we find ourselves greedy of gain, can it trouble the house of God? Can it trouble the local church? You're mighty right it can. Another one whose life was ruined and destroyed by greed was a man named Demas. Very little mentioned of Demas, other than being a co-laborer and a fellow laborer with the Apostle Paul. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 10, the Bible said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Having loved this present world, greed. We're talking about greed this morning, the god of greed. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 16 says this, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Greed can lead to disobedience. Greed can lead to deception, and greed can lead to destruction. The Lord said this, and I'm going to close, though I'll preach the continuation of this a little later on. But know this, the Bible said in that warning, there was a word of warning, there's a word of correction, and there's a word of instruction. We've never gotten anywhere but the warning this morning. But the Lord says, take heed. Take heed and beware of covetousness. Covetousness. Wanting something that somebody else has. You know, I struggled with that. For several years, right after I was saved. Right after I was saved, I struggled at looking at everybody else. At looking at some of my co-workers, at looking at some of people maybe that I went to church with, and I'd look at and I struggled with it because I was trying to do the right thing. Don and I was trying to do the right thing. We were giving, we were tithing, we were giving offerings, we were giving the Faith Promise missions. And you've heard me tell the story before that we barely had food enough to be on the table. And if we got a new suit of clothes back in those days, it was very rarely. But thing is we never did without. God met His guarantee and promise. But I had my eyes on everybody else. I had my eyes on everybody else. I had my eyes on the co-workers that was buying new guns and buying new fishing rods and buying bass boats and buying four-wheel drive pickup trucks and going on expensive hunting trips and doing all these things. And I saw people in the church that was building new houses and driving new cars and wearing new suits of clothes and all of that. And I thought, well, Lord, why? Here I am trying to do the right thing. Look at them. When I had to learn, I used to want all those things. You remember Solomon? You remember when God gave Solomon a blank check? You remember that? You remember when He gave Solomon a blank check? He said, Solomon, whatever you want is yours. You know what Solomon asked for? He didn't ask for riches and wealth, did he? He asked for wisdom that he might be able to lead God's people. And that pleased God. And what did God give him? God gave him that desire, but He also gave him wealth and riches too. I'm thankful for what God's given me. I've been down here. I may not be up here. I've been down here. And I may be right here now. And one of these days I may be up here. But one thing that I have learned and I'm still learning to do is to be content with what God's given me. The Lord giveth and what? The Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the lesson. Beware. Take heed and beware of covetousness. Why? Because it can lead to disobedience. It can lead to deception. And it can lead to destruction if we allow it. Beware of it. Your life, my life, does not consist in the abundance of the things in which we possess. Our life consists by knowing Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Do you know Him today? Do you know Him? I'm going to tell you, when you've got Jesus, you've got everything. Everything. You've got everything that you'll ever need or you'll ever want. That's why He says, take no thought for your life. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, or wherewithal shall you be clothed? He gives illustration of the ravens, the fowl of the air. He paints a picture of the lilies of the field. He said, and it reminds us that God takes care of them, and they don't do anything but just glorify Him. That's their whole purpose, is to glorify Him. That's our whole purpose, is to glorify God. And if we'll do that and we'll put Him first, what did He promise He'd do? He'd give us everything that we needed. Everything. Isn't that amazing? But think about this. Psalms 37, verse 4. Oh, how I've quoted this many times. Delight thyself also in the Lord. And the Bible said, He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You put God first, you delight, you have joy in serving Him. He said He's going to give you the desires of your heart. Psalms 84, verse 11 says that God is a sun and shield. God is a sun and shield. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Claim those promises. Amen? God will bless you. Don't be greedy. Don't let greed be your God as it was in the life of this rich fool. God called him a fool. A fool. Tonight shall thy soul be required of thee, and then who shall these things be? Brother Ron quoted it this morning in Sunday school. I quoted it last week. But in Mark chapter 8, verse 36 and 37, for what shall it profit a man, though he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his own soul? Folks, life is more than making money. Life is more than just a job. I realize we have to work. Brother Ron brought a good message on that this morning about work. If we don't work, we don't eat. Right? I know the principle of work and what God says about it. But life is more than just making a dollar, isn't it? It's more than just making a dollar. It's more than just putting money in the bank, laying up treasures in heaven. Life is more than those things. Much, much more. That's why He reminds us that we're to lay up those treasures in heaven. And we'll be rewarded for it one day. We're sending them on ahead. Amen? We're stocking, making deposits in our spiritual bank account in heaven. That's what matters. That's when we're rich toward God and not toward man. That's good lessons, isn't it? Amen. Amen. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Let me ask you this morning, can you relate? Like me this morning, can you relate to the rich man? Can you relate to the subject of greed? If so, it may be evident in your life. Are those characteristics of greed, are they evident in your life? Can you see them in your own life? Do you see them in the life of someone around you, someone that you know? Someone that you can encourage and help and maybe point and steer them in the right direction. Just remember, our life doesn't consist in what we have, what we possess. Our life consists in knowing Jesus and serving Him, pleasing Him in all that we do. That's what matters in life. I pray that today that you've been able to see that. I pray that today the Lord has revealed some things to you as He has in my life. Father, we love you. We thank you for this message today. Lord, thank you for giving it to me. And Lord, for me and allowing me to be able to share it, Lord, with this congregation. I pray this morning that as the seed of your word has been sown in the hearts and lives of these individuals this morning, those that are here, those that may be listening live stream, or those that will listen days and weeks and months to come. But I pray, dear God, that this message has not fallen upon deaf ears. And Lord, I pray that if there's areas in our life that we need to confess and repent, Lord, that we would be willing to do that. That, Lord, that we would restore that perfect peace and fellowship with you, which should be, because we know that if we've got greed in our heart, that's a sin that separates us from you. Doesn't lose our salvation, but it separates the fellowship and the communion that we could have. I pray this morning that we'd confess it and forsake it. Lord, if there's one here that their life has been destroyed by greed, I pray that there'd be areas of improvement and areas of healing this morning for those, that you would heal that wound, Lord, this morning. That suffering of loss, dear God, I pray. But Lord, for that one that may be lost, I pray today, Lord, that you would draw them unto yourself and that you would save them. Lord, help them to see that Jesus is all that they need. And when you've got Jesus, you've got everything. I pray now your blessing upon this invitation. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.